Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Well, hello and welcome to the show. I guess we're not going to hear the amazing intro by Kristen Jones, also known as the Groovinator, who had an intro for us inspired by Eric called From the Other Side. But we'll get that next time. Anyway, welcome to our show, everyone. And for those of you who do not already know, and I think most of you do, Spirit Guide Eric Medhus, the star of this show, is my 21-year-old son who died a few years ago. And, oh, my God, I went through a long, grief-filled journey from skepticism to belief, people. But now, because of his relentless attempts to prove his existence in, Eric, in very indisputable ways, I really feel largely healed. And we have a blog now, Channeling Eric, Eric Silva with a K, where through a medium, Eric shares what he knows about death, the afterlife, spirits, the human experience, and so much more. And over the years, gosh, he has helped thousands of blog members all over the world, and now he wants to expand his reach to help a broader audience, you the listener. And through his spirit translator, Kim Babcock, hi Kim, he'll share a little bit of wisdom first and then accept questions from listeners. So if you want to ask Eric questions, and I see we already have a lot of people in queue, please call us at 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. Now, let me introduce Kim. Kim, how about telling us a little bit about yourself and how people can connect with you?
Hello, absolutely. Thank you. Well, as many of you already know, I've been practicing my mediumship abilities for about 6 to 7 years now. And recently, about a year ago, joined the Channeling Eric team. And through those adventures with Eric, the crazy journeys that he can take you on sometimes, that's brought us here. I offer private sessions as well, private readings to connect individuals with their loved ones on the other side, to connect them to their higher selves, their spiritual guides, and even Mr. Eric himself. Eric has an amazing way of just coming in and zeroing in on the caller and tuning into your energy, figuring out what's going on and giving you the best advice to keep you moving forward. So I'm honored to be here, honored to be a part of this process, and looking forward to hearing Eric's voice tonight.
And your website is www.kimbabcock.net. And I'll remind you guys toward the end of the show about how to contact her. So, okay, Eric. Hi, sweetie.
Hey, Mom. What's up? He says we finally got this working.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Listen, why don't you start by sharing something that will enrich our lives? Kim and I were talking about maybe, for example, you could talk about why in the hell do we suffer so much emotionally?
Ooh, that's a good one. He says, he says, you know, there's so many out there across the world, across the dimensions, through different realms that that can relate to this topic, having experienced it one time or another. Emotional suffering is, to make it plain and simple, Mom, he says, the root of the cause is attachments. People become attached to ideas and certain outcomes or anticipate certain situations or people to unfold in certain ways. And when those attachments, when things play out in life that don't match up to your expectations and that attachment that you have to that expectation, that's when emotional suffering begins to occur. So the best advice I can give people, he says, is to try to reevaluate. Look, take a look at your life. Look around and figure out where you have those attachments. Where do you have those expectations? And why do you have those expectations? And are they realistic? Are they right for who you are? He says, take a second look and figure out ways to begin to surrender the attachments that you have to your expectations. Surrender your expectations completely and live a life free of emotional suffering. Now, I know that's a tall order, he says, but trust me, you can do it. You can attain that ability to let go of those attachments, let go of those expectations, and live a life that's a little more free from the emotional suffering that we tend to hold on to.
Well, Eric, that is such great advice. Now, are you ready to open up the lines and see what questions people have for you, sweetie?
He says, absolutely, Mom. Are you ready?
Yes, but guess what, Eric?
What? He's cupping his ear. He says, what? Tell me.
I love you. I always used to do that to you. I go, guess what? What? You thought it was candy or something, you know, or a trip to Astral World. But no, it's just, I love you. Oh, Mom.
He says,
anyway,
I love you. He says, you get me every time.
I know, I do, even now. All right, let's check in with our first caller. All right, hello, you are on the line. What's your name? This is Elisa.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hi. What is your name and where are you from?
Hi, can you Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, goody. That's a beautiful state.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Elisa?
Yeah. Sure, sweetie,
oh,
I hear you.
I
yep.
Just
what question do you have for our boy?
Well, my son Jason passed over and took his life, and I was wondering if he would come forward and if there was any messages about his sister, Mitzi, and tell him I love him and I really miss him.
Eric says he's greeting you. He says, first of all, thank you for calling. He says, thank you for having trust in all of us, trust in this process and in the afterlife, because he says, not only am I thanking you, he says, but you should thank you because your trust in this process has brought you healing to yourself. So he says, give yourself a pat on the back. But anyhow, about your son, Eric says, anytime someone passes from a suicide or taking their own life, one way or another, they're going to find their way back home. He says, so rest your mind in knowing that he's okay. Okay, Eric's starting to get on a soapbox, so we'll save that for after this call. We'll finish that in a minute. So you're asking for a message for Mitzi, is that right?
Right, his sister.
He says to keep, he's pulling her chin up, keep your chin up because I know things have changed. I know you've lost the sense of security with the world around you after going through my passing, but he says, I want her to know, I want to reassure her that her family loves her and that she's supported. He says she has a fear of, she's lost that sense of security because of my passing, and I want her to know she doesn't have to have that fear, he says. Just tell her I love her, he says.
Oh, thank you. I just wondered real quick here, Matt, her husband, is he mentally ill or Alzheimer's?
Okay. You know, I asked Eric that question because he... just based on Eric's abilities. Eric says, you know, it's borderline. He says there are some borderline issues that need to be addressed, but the level of severity isn't there. It's not severe. It's not deep. He says it's
are
kind
you
of
talking
like...
about, are you talking about borderline personality disorder or just it's borderline, marginal?
He says... He says borderline marginal. He says...
Okay.
He just keeps going on and on about... Eric's going on and on about... He wants you to know and I guess your family, too, to share it with your family. He says that society can raise us and condition us in certain ways to believe certain things about where people go if they pass from a suicide. He says, but I'm here to tell you and for you to share with your family to rest your mind in knowing that this is a bold statement, a strong statement, but he says, God's love is not limited to loving those that don't pass from suicide. He doesn't exclude the people that pass away from suicide. He says, that's kind of, society has conditioned us to think, well, if you take your own life, then you're not going to get to return into God's love, but that's not true. And he says, you need to know that, and your family needs to know that too, that your son is safe and that your son has walked back home, he says.
Well, that's so nice. All right, well, thank you for calling in. Let's see if we can take another caller.
Thank you for calling in.
All right. Who do I have on the line today here? Can you hear me? Area code 517?
Hello? Is that me?
Hi. What's your name?
Hi. My name is Jacqueline.
Hey, Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Where are you calling from? Oh, okay.
I'm calling from
where are you calling?
I'm calling from Lansing, Michigan.
Awesome. Nice and cold over there, huh?
Oh, cold and snowy, very cold and snowy.
Oh, how idyllic, how wonderful. Well, what kind of question do you have for Eric today?
I've just come onto the Channeling Eric website, and I'm coming to Denver in June. I'm so excited. But
oh,
I have
goody.
A question. Yes, I'm really excited. I have a question regarding, I'll preface it a little bit. I was discussing with somebody else the other day about my father's and my relationship in this life and how it goes. And I wondered if it was possible to channel somebody on the other side with one of their other lives. Like, I'm very curious to want to talk to my father from a past or a different life. Is it possible while he is still alive to channel one of his other selves? I'm curious because I'm trying to get some confirmation about what goes on in this life with us and wondering what went on in another life between us. Just wondered, I've never heard the question asked before.
Oh, that's a fascinating question. And that's the first time I've been asked something like that. Very, very interesting. Eric says it's absolutely possible to not only channel the higher self of someone that's currently incarnate, but also to channel different aspects of them, you know, from different incarnations. So even if your dad is physically here in this incarnation with you, you can still channel those aspects of his higher self that were those different incarnations. So it's just branches of consciousness, basically, that you're tuning into, Eric says. So it's absolutely possible.
That's interesting. How about myself? Could I channel one of my other selves? At this point, is that possible?
He's kind of laughing, and he says, absolutely. He says, people do that every day without even realizing it.
Really?
He's calling it, he's kind of laughing, and he's like, this is a topic that we can get deeper into discussion some other time, but he says, sometimes it looks like a mood disorder, like moods fluctuating and swinging around, but it's people actually tuning into other dynamics or aspects of their higher self.
He's kind of laughing.
He's like, people do that all the time. They don't even realize it.
That's interesting.
What would be really interesting to find out is what life you and your father had that is now influencing this current life. But first, I want to remind you guys that we are calling from liveparanormal.com, and that for you guys just joining us, this is the Channeling Eric Hour of Enlightenment. I'm supposed to do this every 15 minutes. Those are producer's orders. But anyway, take it away, Eric. Tell us about this life that could be influencing their current life.
Eric says, he says, well, we can go there. He says, in other lives more than once, it's been, to be completely honest, it's been almost like a struggle between a control struggle, like a struggle between having control. Like, you guys tend to, in other incarnations, have kind of butt heads on control. So it's like not feeling free enough as a growing adult, and him as the father figure wanting to guide you and sort of control your actions in certain ways, as a father typically wants to, but you wanting your own sense of self-control. So a lot of times in other incarnations, it's been a control struggle back and forth. But the way that's affected...
Can you be specific?
Well, he says the way that that's affected this incarnation is... not completely reversed, he says, but this incarnation with your father is more about it's experiencing your freedom in that relationship with him. So being able to be yourself in that relationship, like in that circumstance.
Yeah. 'Cause it feels very distant. I mean, it's funny because I'm not the only daughter, but I was born on his birthday. There's a lot of things. But it's always been like there's never been a really strong connection in this life. Yet I love him, and I know he loves me. But it's just this thing that I know. I keep thinking this is a mending life for us, but I don't quite understand it because he's not very involved, yet he loves me dearly.
Interesting. And see, so that doesn't surprise me because of what Eric is saying, that in other incarnations it was too controlling of a relationship for you. So in this incarnation, it's not completely reversed, but almost, where it's like such freedom in the relationship, such openness in the relationship. So almost reversed.
Was he a father figure? Or what kind of were we siblings? Was it husband,
oh, no,
wife?
He was talking about him as a father figure.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So in another life, he was a father figure. Wow. Well, thank you
so much.
That's
a great question. I hope that helped you. Thanks for
calling
in.
It does. And thank you for all you do. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, let's see who else we have on the line here. Area code 480. Who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes, I can. Hi.
What's your name?
I'm Cynthia.
Where are you calling from?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, nice and balmy over there compared to Lansing, Michigan, our last caller. Bless her heart.
Yes, I know. Well, come summer, I wish I'll be over there. My question is, could Eric please ask my higher self to comment on my marriage?
Okay.
Ooh, good one.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You might have to brace yourself there.
I know.
He makes, Eric is kind of, okay. So he's just pulled forth your higher self, so then he steps back to allow your higher self to speak. So I will just refer to your higher self as she.
Yes.
As she comes in commenting on this marriage, the first thing that I pick up on and feel is a sense of long-lasting. I don't feel like this is the first time you've been with this partner. It feels like a very a very old relationship, a very well-seasoned relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So she says there are a lot of dynamics in this relationship that are directly intended to teach you about self-love, because here comes that part where you say brace yourself. There are times where, as humans, as you know, human nature as we do, we're not completely fair, I guess, with ourselves or with our partner, in that we do have expectations. And she says, for your higher self, or I'm sorry, for yourself and in your relationship, you have certain expectations that the partner will be maybe more affectionate, and more compassionate and soft, and those expectations aren't being fulfilled. So that's when you're forced to rely on self and be self-compassionate and basically give those emotions to yourself rather than expect them to come from an outside source like a partner. So the root of, the root of this relationship is to teach you to rely on yourself for those emotions, and to not fall to disappointment. Don't fall to disappointment when the partner is either unable to express those emotions or unable to express that affection. It's just a lack of understanding, or almost like an inability, not all the time, but an inability to communicate that sometimes, but not all the time, she says. So connecting with yourself and being able to be compassionate with yourself and affectionate with yourself, like self-love, is not more important, but should come first. And then you'll have less need for that fulfillment, for that to come from the partner. Then you won't feel like unfulfilled by what the partner does or doesn't do.
Okay.
Well, do you have any practical advice that how she can attain that sense of self-love, Eric?
Well, just the best way to work on self-love for anybody, he says, I recommend everybody taking time to do this daily, is naming things that you like about yourself, things that you might not like, but you accept. So when you're able to talk to yourself that way, you're processing, you're working through certain things, certain emotions or feelings that you have about yourself. So the best thing, he says, the best thing I can encourage people to do is find ways to accept yourself on deeper levels, accept what you don't like. So just talk to yourself, you know, spend time with yourself in the morning. And it's okay to do that. He says people are so afraid to spend time just with themselves because partially they're afraid of what they might find emotionally or mentally, but also they feel guilty. They feel like they're being selfish, but it's much needed. So spend that time with yourself, talk to yourself, and find new ways to accept what you used to not like, or what you used to try to shush away about yourself, he says.
Okay. Well, that's very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Eric, are you ready for a little surprise? I got a surprise for you. Let's see who our next caller is. Who do I have on the line here right now?
Michelle Medhus.
Oh,
your sister.
Eric's big sister.
Oh. Hello.
Are you shocked? He's speechless. I can't believe it. That's impossible. Hey, Eric, you there? Oh. Oh, I think I accidentally I muted the wrong person. I muted the medium. That is so not good. Hang on. I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back.
It probably happened on purpose.
Okay. Now, maybe he's doing this. Yeah, it's not my fault. Somebody else's fault. Okay. Well, now I can't find her. Kim, where are you? 740 area code. Hang on, peeps. There we go. Here she is. Okay. Hey,
I'm
Kim.
Here.
Sorry about that. I don't know how you got muted. I muted the right person. I don't know what happened. But anyway, we got your sister on the line, babe.
That's funny. He was bouncing his eyebrows. He was, like, just smiling really big and bouncing his eyebrows.
Aww.
It's cute.
Hi, Erin.
Do you have any...
Yeah, just I guess that... Yeah. Go ahead. He's just what? Getting real mushy. He got real soft and mushy.
Aww. Well, first of all, tell him I love him.
He says, I miss you. He's trying to wrap his... He says, I miss hugging you. He's, like, trying to wrap his arms around you.
He was the most huggable person ever. Like, his body was so huggable.
Aww. He goes, what do you mean was? I still am.
Well... He used to hate it because I used to say that he had a really skinny body, and he hated it.
Oh, I called him scrawny once, and he was not too happy with me.
Oh, he was just
that
saying
was
that,
good.
Scrawny. He was going, I was scrawny.
As he obviously knows, I am over 8 months pregnant with my son, and I just wanted a message from my little guy, from Eric, I guess, if he can pull him forward or something.
Okay, so you're wanting a message from the baby, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what we're doing here? I don't know.
Let's do it.
That's what we're doing.
We're
asking for messages from everybody's baby. That's right.
Cool.
Just kidding.
Okay, this is what I'm hearing. As I ask Eric to bring forward the little guy, the little energy, this is what I'm hearing. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I keep hearing that over and over. So let's start there. I don't know if it's fear of delivering, fear of what the birth is going to be like, or raising a son. But first of all, that's what he's saying. He says, you're in good hands, Mommy. That's what he says. So... This is, like, going to get me all choked up.
Oh, she's going to cry, guys. Kim's going to cry, I can tell.
I'm a crybaby. He's reaching his hands out, and he just keeps saying, you're in good hands. So he says, I promise to take care of your heart.
Oh.
Such a sweetheart.
How sweet.
But he's thanking you because... he's thanking you because not just the pregnancy, but his life is, he says his life is symbolic for bringing people together, for connecting people, reuniting people. That's what his incarnation is about. That's what it symbolizes and represents. And he's thanking you for giving him life, for giving him that opportunity. So, be aware, he says, be aware of the ways that my birth and my life draw people together because that's my purpose, he says.
Mm.
Just
okay.
Saying,
how beautiful.
You. Ooh, I didn't expect
how
to
beautiful.
Cry.
Oh, poor Kim.
Oh,
so it's something I don't understand what's scary about that.
What was that?
No, what is the thing that he's saying not to be afraid of?
Okay, that's the first thing that I was hearing. He kept saying, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. So acknowledging a fear that you have somewhere. So it felt more like a fear of the birth, or like, is the birth going to go okay? Am I going to deliver okay? Is it going to be a healthy birth? He says, you don't have anything to worry about, so don't have fear.
Is it some physical,
okay.
Is it basically a physical fear, a fear of some physical problem?
That's what he makes me feel like. He says, yeah, he says it's a fear of, more so a worry. Maybe fear is too strong, he says. A worry.
Yeah.
Worrying, is everything going to go okay? Is it going to be a healthy delivery? Is it going to go naturally like I want it to? It's a worry. So he says, don't worry, don't have fear. Everything's going to be okay.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Does that help you, Michelle Wellies, my love?
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't, you know, have fears that, you know, their baby's going to be healthy and stuff?
Everybody Absolutely. Does. But obviously you have nothing to worry about. And I will be there by your side.
And the rest
and
of us,
bringing
the whole
people
rest
together.
Of the world will be waiting for the pictures and the announcement. It's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. Does that help you,
okay.
Michelle?
Yeah, so he's going to be totally fine, no problem.
I think this was your guy, Michelle. I don't think it was Eric. I heard, Mom, stop worrying. Like a really stern
mm-hmm.
little voice. Yes.
Oh,
wow.
Fine. Don't worry.
Okay.
Hey,
Eric,
thanks for the advice,
sounds
call,
very
Michelle.
Good.
Eric says, don't worry, Michelle. I got this one. And he's like putting his arm around the little guy's energy.
Oh, that's so cute.
He says, I want you to know I'll be there, Michelle. He says, this is Eric again. He's showing gestures. He's speaking with pictures, but what he's saying is through the actual delivery, through the hard part, he's going to be there trying to keep you comfortable, he says. So, because what he's doing is he's showing himself like just complete, you know, brotherly love, caressing your hair and
uh-huh.
just trying to hug your head and like coach you, so to speak. Like, it's okay. You can do this. And so he's saying that he'll be there when it's the hardest part. He says, I'll be there to take care of it.
Aw.
That's awesome.
That's good.
That's awesome. Thanks for calling, sweetie.
Yeah,
thank
it was
you.
Such a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for calling. I'm so excited.
Well, thank you. Love you all.
Love you.
You too, baby.
Says, love you, sister.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, now my duty is to say we are broadcasting through liveparanormal.com. This is Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment. I hope you guys are having a great time. I know I am. Are you ready for another caller?
Yes, absolutely.
Y'all
ready to do this? That was awesome. Yes, let's keep going.
That was such a
surprise. Keep
away. All right, we have somebody from the 843 area code. Last
oh my God!
3410. Who am I speaking with?
Yeah, I'm from Charleston.
Awesome.
Hi, from Charleston. What's your first name?
Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi,
you
I'm
got
so
to ask
happy
Eric?
That I just got connected to you guys. I have so many questions, but I actually have scheduled with Kim in April, so I'm going to save a lot of them and just ask my main one right now.
Oh, cool.
But I would love to, if you could call on my higher self and talk about what like purpose I am to serve in this lifetime and what lessons I'm supposed to learn.
Ooh, interesting.
Ooh, good one. I think everybody
Absolutely.
Should know
oh my
that.
Gosh.
Everybody needs to check in with their higher self and figure out, hey, what's up with this life, man? What is going on?
Yes.
Why am I here?
And
yeah,
Lisa,
absolutely.
I just have to say how much I love you because you have changed, like, how I see the world so much. And I'm so excited to finally be talking to you. Like, I could cry.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's Eric. It's not me. I'm just a little, I don't know, not so very good typist. But thank you. So what do
All
you
right.
say? Eric, can you bring forth her higher self?
He says, of course. He says, and to back it up, Mom, to back you up. He says everybody should take that time, just like we were talking about earlier, take time to give yourself self-love, take a little bit of time for yourself every day, because that in itself will keep you connected to your higher self, and ultimately you can live a better life that way. So he goes, Jamie, let's bring in your higher self. Okay. All right, just like I did with the other caller, I'm going to refer to your higher self just as she.
Mm-hmm.
So as she steps forward, this energy feels huge to me, very, very big. Some feel very big, some feel not as big. So it's just, I would assume maybe that's just based on the experience, the amount of incarnations you've had. I'm not really sure, but it feels big, your higher self, and very intellectual.
Ooh, a smarty pants.
Coming in and connecting to this incarnation, and what is this purpose about? I don't know if this is this incarnation or past, but there's a strong medical tie. I don't know if you work in the medical field or are interested, but there's a strong medical tie I'm picking up somewhere. She says it's a part of your history, okay? She says part of what this incarnation is for you is, she says...
Uh-oh, you're not going to start crying again, are you, Kim?
No, she's just getting real deep real fast.
I'm just teasing.
Oh, she says, you have a tendency, this is what she says, you have a tendency in this incarnation to, and this is a good thing, it's a good tendency, but she's trying to bring awareness to it so you can learn from it. Seeing yourself and other people, seeing yourself and other people's actions, understanding that the people around you, the people that are in your life, are a direct reflection of certain aspects of you, of certain dynamics of you. So try to follow me here because I'm barely hanging on by a thread. She's getting real deep.
Aww.
She says, the way that you see people, be aware of the way you see them. Be aware of how they make you feel because every person in your life is a manifestation of different aspects of yourself. So it's all about letting the walls down and learning from other people. It's almost like she says you're apprehensive in allowing other people in. You're apprehensive to be vulnerable, and that's what this incarnation is about, being more vulnerable to the close people in your close circles, to connect with them on deeper levels and learn from them about who you are. So not placing your self-worth and value in them, but rather letting them teach you what you do or don't want for yourself. So it's through others' actions, she says, in which you're going to see a reflection of yourself one way or another, whether you want to be that reflection or whether you don't identify with it. She says, so it's learning from other people's actions and pulling that in and letting it teach you for your ultimate, like, higher growth, higher understanding of emotions and situations. So really she's doing this hand gesture. It's all about, this incarnation is about letting down your walls, letting people in, and knowing that you're safe even when you decide to be vulnerable. Being vulnerable means being open to people, being interactive on deeper levels than what you would initially go for. And she also says working on trust, trusting people, trusting yourself to be vulnerable with people. She says that you've been hurt in the past, so there's reason for that apprehension, but not to have attachments there. So hope that this is resonating with you, Jamie. And I'm not sure where this strong medical tie is, but it feels like it's in the past or in a past incarnation. I don't know if it's come into this incarnation, into this life for you, if you work in the medical field, but she keeps talking about that, about medical.
I'm actually in school to become a teacher.
Interesting. Okay.
So I actually also wanted to know if, like, Eric had any advice on teacher, because I know how he feels about the public education system.
Oh, boy. He can get on that soapbox, can he, Jamie?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Yeah, he's... So advice on being a teacher, he says, being a teacher, you're going to be forced up against many different walls because society has standards and rules, and you have to operate within a certain framework. So knowing who you are and maintaining creative leverage enough to keep your identity, like to keep connected to your identity, is going to be important, because sometimes the way laws govern the way you teach can almost rip you outside of your identity, pull you away from your own identity. Like, laws will govern the way you teach, and you might not agree with it, and you might not identify with it. So understand that, and kind of be proactive in, instead of, he says, most people just want to butt heads with the law, or the way that the law governs the way you can teach and the way that trickles down into teaching. But be proactive in thinking, okay, if this is the framework I have to work with, then how can I still maintain my creative leverage inside this framework? So being proactive in that is going to be much more effective in helping you maintain your identity, he says, as a teacher, because that's what happens with a lot of teachers is they get put up against those regulations and they begin to lose that sense of why they wanted this in the first place. They lose that identifying with that role.
Mm-hmm. I totally get that.
All right. Well, Jamie, thank you for calling.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. So much. And I'm so excited to talk to you again, Kim, in April.
Yes, I look forward to it. Awesome. Thank you so much
for
calling.
Bye, Jamie.
Bye.
Okay, let's see who we have next here. Hello, caller from 217 area code. What's your first name?
Lisa.
And where are you from? Hey.
Paulette, I'm from Illinois.
Hey, Helen from Illinois. What you got for
I'm
air?
I'm from Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you just hear about what I was going through?
Oh, nothing.
We just brought you
in
air.
Okay. Well, that's a relief. Well,
oh, no.
I have a couple of things. I have a couple of things to. I can be quick though.
Okay.
My son, who was the one that just came in the room, and why I had to close the door. He is acutely mentally ill.
Mhm.
And I think I want Eric to. Call in his higher soul, because I'm trying to figure out, my husband and I have lived with him for many, many years. And, we try to keep his head above water in many ways. And, I pretty much help him manage his life. And he comes and goes as he pleases, because he is an adult. But it's just very painful to see how this is all manifesting, with him. And I just want to know, is there anything I can do more, or should I just back off and let things happen? I just feel so disappointed for him. Not for me necessarily, because I understand it would be like winning the lottery, I think, if he, was healed of some of these things that are aggravating his life. Mainly his paranoia and his mental illness, of course.
I totally understand that. Being a mother of a mentally ill child, I know we want our children to be perfect and have perfect lives. And in some cases,
I don't even need perfect. I just want, reasonably well, just better than what it is, because he's in so much pain and he knows the difference. I mean, I don't care if people are disabled. I worked with disabled people. I worked with the homeless for over 20 years and took care of him. And disabled is one thing, but when you know that something's not right with you, and you know that you're missing out and you feel that way,
Yeah, Eric struggled with that too. Very difficult for him. I totally get it. And I wish I was there to give you a hug.
I know. Well, that's why I can relate to you, because we have so much in common. And I'm on the blog too. But I just, and I think Eric may be looking in on us, but I'm not sure,
Well, Eric, what do you have to say, Eric, that can help her, help both of them?
He says, I want to shed a little bit of light on why you're going through this, first of all, and then we'll talk about your son. He says, the reason why you're experiencing this in this incarnation, the message for you to take home from all of this is, even though you may have a child with a certain illness, no matter what that illness is or disability, no matter what it is, knowing and understanding, being able to keep yourself and who you are separate from it to a degree, because in this, and that's hard, that's why it's not easy. He says, going through life, maintaining your identity as who you are and that sense of self is really important. And in that process, in situations like this, it's extremely hard to maintain your own identity and that sense of self, because you sacrifice that to help another. So part of that is knowing you can help, you can guide, but you shouldn't, don't sacrifice your own journey, your own identity in that process, because then, he goes, then it's just a whole other can of worms. He's like squishing up his nose. He says, make sure you can stay you and have a sound head on your shoulders no matter what you're going through with your family. So then with that being said, the first thing he keeps acknowledging, Eric, when he talks about your son, is there's a lot of anger, a lot of aggression and anger issues because of, it's like he's showing me your son and what I see him like pacing, but it's like he's pacing with feeling all balled up, like just tense and angry, agitated, frustrated. But it's because of, he feels boxed in, Eric says. He feels boxed in, like almost like like being trapped inside himself, and it's really hard for him to kind of unwind and calm down and relax. I know what that's like. He says, Eric says, I've been there, and it's difficult because sometimes when you want so bad just to calm down, you can't. You can't obtain that state of being. So he says, understand that there are treatments, there are effective treatments, but also he's getting kind of stern and being really direct with you, so here goes.
Well, he's on medication, and I mean, I'm sure he cheeks some of it, but he is on medication, and, you know, and I manage that, and I make sure he gets to his appointments. He has health issues that are coming up, and I'm trying to work with him to make sure he addresses those. And that's not hard. That's very difficult to, because he's in his own world trying to figure out why things aren't working for him, and he's paranoid. I mean, that's the number one enemy right there, paranoia.
Eric,
and
even
on meds.
Yeah, Eric, what can he do? What can be done?
He says, first of all, he says, understanding the root of paranoia is a really deep topic that we can get into a little bit. He says paranoia comes from partially the need for control, and feeling like you're out of control is when paranoia can surface. He says, but also mom, not Elisa, but he says you have to understand that you can help, you can guide and nurture, but you can't change his journey. There is purpose behind what he's going through. So continue to help him.
I think I kind of know that. I was kind of hoping that maybe you know, I didn't know what specifically what the journey is about all the way till the end, you know, and I was just kind of hoping he would have some peaceful life and have some peace in his life at some point. It's just hard to see him suffer.
He says, Eric says, that's why, he says, that's why I bring this up, is as hard as it is to see one go through this, sometimes understanding that you can't change that journey for them is really important, because when you can make peace with that concept, then it's a little bit easier to deal with day to day. But then he says, for your son, as he goes in and day out and has different types of struggles, he says he will find medication that lessens the paranoia or helps decrease it, I guess, or minimizes it, he says. But it's going to be through, like, trial and error, and you're going to learn different coping mechanisms, Eric says, like, and also adapting. He keeps saying he will become more adaptable to what he's going through, but it's taking it step by step, because it's a learning process for you and for him, because it's the first time going through this in this life. Each day, each, you know, episode you go through when things get really bad, you walk through it step by step. He says, looking way out ahead and thinking, you know, is there going to be a light at the end of the tunnel? He says that depends on how you walk those steps. So what you can do now is, no matter what happens, when or how, he says, don't cave in because of fear. Fear of thinking, oh, this isn't working. Something isn't working, and now getting frustrated, or, you know, different emotions start to rise and get worse in severity in reaction to what he's going through. But if you can maintain that constant state of, okay, I'm going to take this one step at a time and deal with it one step at a time, he says that'll be more effective than thinking, okay, we got the magic medication, here we go, this is going to change everything. He says that in itself would be too jarring for what he's going through. So it has to be a slow progress. It has to be that step by step, because if it was this magic pill that worked overnight, that in itself would be too dramatic of a shift for him energetically. So
he says, yeah, we've been in this for many years. I mean, he's 47. So
is there any particular homeopathic substance or natural substance?
I don't know.
That might,
I mean,
help him? I'm asking
character,
anything like omega-3 or you know, and anything that might help him?
Eric says, yeah, but I don't know if I can say this over the air.
Okay, well, then I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So,
I wish I did.
Well, yeah. It's legal. It's legal in some states. It's legal in some states, is all I can say.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. He's already doing that.
Okay.
But different.
Is he doing the right strain?
Eric says, look into different forms of it that might help.
Well, it's not legal in this state for people that are mentally ill yet. And I don't know if it will be or not, but here you can't get it. There are certain things being approved for Illinois, certain diseases and things like that.
Okay.
They are being approved, but not for mentally ill people yet. As yet, they're trying to get it passed for PTSD.
Eric says, and that's the same because it's effective.
And he has PTSD, I'm sure of it too. You know. But,
what about EMDR for the PTSD? All these acronyms. All these letters of the alphabet here.
Eric says, yes, Mom, yes. He says...
EMDR?
EMDR. It's really interesting. They use this on the vets that have PTSD. Just Google it. It has to do with eye movements and
I read about that before, yeah.
Yeah, I underwent it because he
goes to a mental health center here, and I don't think they would. I don't know if they would listen. They're pretty much useless. But you know, he goes there every month. He goes there every month, every other month, and gets his, he has to go. I'll make sure he goes because he won't get his scripts. But they don't do, you know, they don't do therapy or do really help him that much at all. It's all on me. I do everything for him.
You might have to go outside of that system in order to get EMDR, but that really helped me after I had PTSD from just, you know, Eric's death and seeing him right after he shot himself. And it really did so much.
Yes, I've heard of it. I mean, it's a fascinating. It's fascinating, really.
Yeah, check it out.
I've looked it up. I have looked it up before myself, just because I was interested in it. And it's just eye movements that.
Right.
For some reason, they help you to. It helps you in the end to let go of stuff.
That's exactly right. Well, thank you so much for calling. I guess we need to go ahead and start thinking about closing up the show. How sad. And I know that you guys have been
right.
so long, you know, in
well,
line. But don't worry. You're welcome.
Thank you for calling.
Well, there's not room for just one more thing that's quick?
Oh, it has to be
Eric,
really quick.
Do you know, Eric, do you know the names of my guides or guides?
Oh, that's a nice quick question.
The first name he gave one name for a male, and he said Marcus, M-A-R-K-U-S.
Okay.
He says start there. Knowing that we're getting short on time, he says start there.
Okay, I just want, you know, sometimes you want to talk to your guide, but you don't know what to call them, you know.
Sure. Well, start there, and thank you again so much for calling, and best of luck with your family and with your son. I hope things start to turn around.
Well, thank you all of you for what you do, and we did work in quite a bit, so, you know, I appreciate it, and I'll keep, you'll see me on the blog.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Boy, that hour went by fast. Elisa, do I still have you on the line? We've got about 3 minutes left in the show.
Oh, for some reason it automatically muted me, so here I am. But anyway, so we're airing from liveparanormal.com, the Channeling Eric Hour of Enlightenment, my usual dutiful announcement every 15 minutes. You guys who have stayed on the line for so long, I appreciate it, but don't worry. We are going to do this every Thursday, whether you like it or not. So please don't lose heart. Just be sure that you try to get on in the queue 15 minutes before the hour so that you get a, you know, fighting chance of talking to Eric. So I want to close by saying please check out Eric's book, My Life After Death. It gives a very detailed account of his journey from moments before his death to the present, including a really amazingly detailed description of heaven. Also, be sure you check out the blog. Like I said before, it's channelingeric.com, but Eric is spelled with a K. And we have tons of videos on our Channeling Eric YouTube channel. Plus we have the Facebook group for both Channeling Eric and the Facebook page, but also a private Channeling Eric Facebook group that you can... So where you can share stuff in a very supportive but private way. Kim and Eric, you got anything to add? Kim, you want to refresh their memory about how to connect with you?
Yeah, if anybody out there listening is interested in booking a private session, I do phone readings, I do Skype sessions, private in-person sessions to help you connect with your higher self, with your guides or with your loved ones on the other side, and even to connect you with Eric. So you can check out www.kimbabcock.net, and that's B-A-B-C-O-C-K. Feel free to contact me through my website. You can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I thank you so much, Elisa. It's been a lot of fun, and what a fantastic surprise to talk to Michelle, Eric's sister.
I know.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. Eric, I love you, and